Yeah, I was in the photo. I was noticing your brown sugar bourbon.
Yeah. A while back, I had tried it. It wasn't that bag of the make-your-own marinade. It was just the dry rub.
Uh-huh.
And I did that with just like a barbecue sauce or something. You know, like I didn't do anything special for a marinade. I just did the dry seasoning. Well, the dry seasoning came out really good. So the other day, I'm walking through Walmart and we're like, hey, look, it's the brown sugar marinade that you can actually make. So I did the dry rub and the marinade. Because I used to put brown sugar on my ribs whenever right. I would season them and all. Well, right. Now I don't have to. It's already done. But no, it's a good flavor. So I've never done it this way though. So I went ahead and marinated them tonight. Going to cook them in the oven for like 3 hours or so tomorrow, and then just kind of flash them on the grill to paint the remainder. I saved some of the marinade so I can baste mm-hmm. them on the grill just to pick up a little grill flavor.
Well. Do you make barbecue ribs with it?
What do you mean?
Like at the side, you know, I mean, the side, don't you?
Barbecue ribs? That's what I'm...
I mean, barbecue beans. Barbecue beans.
I'm having ribs, and the side will be more ribs.
I'm talking about barbecue beans.
Oh, yeah. I mean, usually, yeah, she does a really good... We're not going to do that tomorrow. We actually have these two... What do you call those? Like a mashed potato, and you put them back in?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Like, Double baked, I think, or something like that.
Yeah, we have some of those, and then we're going to do some cream spinach, just because I've been craving cream spinach.
Okay.
Funny that you're cooking ribs. I smoked a pork butt yesterday in the smoker. It's good shit. Made some coleslaw, got some sweet Hawaiian rolls, made little pulled pork sliders.
Awesome. Did you do a side of barbecue ribs?
Let's go!
What's up, Who Dat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and my drunk scale ratings are zero, but that's only because I'm just halfway through my first drink, which is a vodka and a V8 Splash.
What flavor of V8 Splash?
It's just like a tropical punch kind of thing. And
you've been all about the sweet drinks.
I have been. I don't know if it's the summertime or whatever, but... All right. Well, it seems like just like next week, I'm just gonna have to have like a crown straight to reclaim my masculinity. Anyway, it seems like just last week training camp started, and now we're already preparing for our first preseason game. There's so much positivity seems to be oozing out of Saints camp this year. You gotta wonder. How much of it is just preseason hype versus the fans' hopefulness versus over-analysis, or who knows what. In the meantime, Saints fans have been talking about trolling the Falcons with a billboard, and Morton Anderson becomes the third Saint to be inducted into the NFL Hall of Fame. That and your look at him tweets coming up before a spoiler-filled Game of Thrones post-show segment. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
It's a zero. I have one beer. Part of that is because I have a softball game tonight, so I can't get hammered. Two is we keep recording earlier and earlier. It's like, shit, I had to pick up breakfast on the way here.
Earlier and earlier. It's the same time as last week.
5:30.
And actually, you were late, so.
5:40.
Well, I had to drive in from fucking Baton Rouge.
You were late.
All right, Damon.
So, y'all are fucking early.
Damon, welcome to the show. How you feeling?
Thank you. I'm feeling all right, Jeff. Thank you for asking.
All right. Well, I think we should just jump right back into overanalyze this. Because there's a little bit more of training camp to overanalyze, let's start with Alex Okafor getting some inside action for the Saints NASCAR package. Have you heard this?
No, I have not.
I heard Peyton mention the word NASCAR.
Yeah, pretty much. They're looking for a little speed package on defense where they're going to throw in all their speed guys on the line, and they're putting Okafor in the middle to try to use his quickness to get around the giant in the middle.
Are they just looking to run in a circle the whole time?
Maybe.
I mean, that's kind of, other than Cam Jordan, that's kind of been what our defense has been doing the last few years.
I mean, what about Okafor, though? You liking what you're seeing so far?
I haven't seen anything, but he was a guy who I thought was very important. They need a pass rusher opposite Jordan, and I thought he was going to be the best candidate for it.
Yeah, and that's the point. Like, they're not talking about playing him on the inside. It's just for this particular package. And Kakaha would come in on the outside to replace him while he moves to the middle.
I honestly don't care who it is. I just want somebody to be able to do something from that left edge.
I care who it is, because clearly we've tried other people who can't do some things.
That's why we brought in new guys. But you have to think Okafor has the best chance. I mean, I know he had a good start to his career in Arizona, but then he fell off a little bit, was injured, but the potential is there, and that's the guy I always pointed to in the offseason. It's a key key free agent acquisition. There weren't many of them, but he was one that they brought in to address that problem.
And, up here! Whoop, whoop! Guys!
You know, that's the guy I've kind of had my eye on.
I won't get to this in looking at tweets because it was late. It was last week and we already replied to it, but there was a question that was posed to us about, you know, what is the key to this year's success, kind of. And in a word, I just replied with health, really. I mean, we plugged all the pieces in. These guys have the talent to do it. It's
sure,
just a matter of health.
Right, no doubt. But look, like we talked about, I mean, I know we talked about it sometimes during the offseason, because I read a stat about it was something like the Saints defenders were literally, you know, two steps away from getting more sacks if the secondary's coverage would have been tighter. You know, that so even though we all claim we have a sack problem. Because I guess
a sack deficiency problem.
Right. Well, right, a sack deficiency problem. Right. We were second or third in the league in quarterback knockdowns, which knockdowns, you know.
Just got there a little too late.
Right, got there a little too late, but not late enough for a penalty.
Right.
So if the cornerbacks, God forbid, you know, can cover a wide receiver for maybe, you know, half a second more, some of those would start turning into sacks. You know, so when you say, and yeah, obviously you want your pass rusher to get there, and Cam Jordan, I think, is definitely a good defensive end. If you know, I don't know, you call him not great yet, but
No, he's very good. He's very good.
Right, very good. Right, not great, but very good. So you know, so that's what the main thing. You know, yeah, and health always. Yes, God forbid everybody doesn't stay healthy. And like last year, hell, I mean, do we have any starting cornerbacks?
Bro played a couple of games and then broke his leg and then came back and just wasn't right. But right, getting back to health, you know, you mentioned the cornerbacks. Well, our top two cornerbacks haven't practiced in a week. Bro and Lattimore are still not practicing. So as the weeks go, and if they're not on the field yet, just gets a little more nervous each week.
Mm-hmm. Do you know any reason why?
Peyton said it wasn't serious, but he said that before, and you know,
it's not
knows?
Serious, but they won't play Thursday night, probably.
No, no.
Oh no, well, no, they're definitely going to play Thursday night if they haven't.
No.
Right.
So, all right.
The next guy I wanted you guys to maybe talk a little bit about, if you have anything to say, is this Kamara. Peyton's comparing him. Hold on. Let me rephrase that.
I know where you're going with that.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm correcting myself before I even said it. He's not comparing him to Marshall Faulk, but he did make the quote that says there are some traits that Alvin Kamara has that remind me of Marshall Faulk.
And I also have some, too. I was born in South Louisiana.
That's not a trait. That's just something you have in common. A trait would be some of your natural tendencies.
I am slow.
Then you are not like Marshall Faulk.
Nope, I am definitely not like Marshall Faulk.
No, but he did, you know, the article there on The Advocate, you know, they did a whole little piece on him. for obvious reasons, but you know, he did say that some of his favorites growing up were Adrian Peterson, Marshall Faulk, Priest Holmes, Clinton Portis. He tries to model himself after that. So I think it's cool that, you know, Adrian Peterson being one of his running backs that he looked up to and tried to emulate is now on his team. You know, kind of reminds me of the time that Ray Lewis got to
murder somebody?
Coach. No, got to be coached by Mike Singletary, who was his idol when he was a kid growing up, and it was the best thing for his career.
Okay, whatever. He still got away with murder.
Because Singletary taught him how to do it.
But get back. I was going to save it for the game preview, but I guess I'll talk about it now. Kamara was actually the guy I'm really looking forward to watching Thursday night. I really want to see what he can do. Because he can really bring that element back to the offense. And I was just very interested to see how he...
What kind of a chance is he going to have during the season with Ingram and Peterson already?
Well, he's a different type of back.
All right. So situation...
The same like when we... you know, when we had Bell, Thomas, and Bush. I mean, they all had their... Okay. You know, they all had their skill sets that Peyton used. I would think that it's Ingram and Peterson that have the similar skill sets. Wouldn't you agree, Jason? You know,
yeah.
They're more alike, but then again, so with Thomas and Bell. You know, those are your two, you know, pounders. Right, and Kamara's going to be again more your scat back.
Change of pace, right?
Right.
Ingram and Peterson are going to get the bulk of the carries. Kamara gets a few carries here and there to not make it predictable, but he's mostly going to be used in the
right. He'll third and long.
And I'm sure there'll probably be some plays where you've got, you know, two of the guys in the back. Like you'll have Kamara and either Peterson or Ingram in the backfield.
Yeah, God forbid you have a fullback. The block, yeah. the block for somebody, God forbid.
Coon and friends alert.
Do we still have Coon? What happened to all that?
We still have Coon. He didn't go anywhere. We re-signed him.
Okay.
All right. Didn't get all the attention as your Peterson, but Coon is still there.
I'm just going to say, I think this might be the best running back assembly since the 2009-2010.
We'll see. I mean, look, you know, Mark Ingram is totally
a lot better than I think we give him credit for.
Yes, 100%. Totally unappreciated here. He really is. And I don't know. I think we've talked about this amongst ourselves and what we did on the show. But you go and you look, and he averages 5 yards a carry. That's what a Saints running back under Sean Payton, that's what he has to do. It's yards per carry. Because you're not going to get any running back with 300-plus carries in a Sean Payton offense. It's not going to happen.
Right.
So it's yards per carry that really matters. And last year, that's what Mark Ingram did.
Well, if you really think about, like, just Saints top rushers all time. I mean, Ingram's already ahead of Pierre Thomas and Dalton Hilliard. I mean, he's number three behind Deuce and George Rogers already, and just in yards.
And yards, rushing yards from the line of scrimmage?
And rushing yards from according to ProFootballReference.com, 4,238 rushing yards. Hilliard had 4,164. And Ingram did this in 78 games, where Hilliard took 108 games to get to 4,164.
That's surprising.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
I wouldn't have guessed.
Notice that Ingram runs as well as he runs.
Yeah, I mean, that's a surprising stat. Where does George Rogers stand?
George Rogers is a number of games, 51 games compared to 78 for Ingram. And he's got 4,267, so only 30. So Ingram's going to pass George Rogers in first game of the year.
Right.
Depends on how often he gets the ball.
And Deuce is like...
Deuce is 97 games with 6,096 yards.
So he's, you know, he needs 2,000 more yards. Wow, so in 2 years, he could pass Deuce.
Yeah, but it's not like I mean, even if he's first, it's a pretty low number for a franchise in terms of rushing.
Oh, no, no, it is. It is, but it is a franchise. But it is what it is, our
but
franchise.
It's our franchise. And this is Ingram doing this with Drew Brees as the quarterback in a pass-heavy offense.
In a pass-heavy offense. That is, wow, that is an impressive stat.
Isn't it?
It is.
I mean, he's 4 point. All right, so you want to talk about yards per attempt? There's no need to talk about that.
Nope, you already did. Good.
All right. Well, anyway,
We have to tell us, what is he for his career?
Oh wait, what? What is who for what career?
His yards per attempt.
Oh, it's 4 point. It's I closed the window, but it's like 4.6, 4.7. Whereas George Rogers and what's his face, Deuce, are both 4.1 less than Ingram, so they're all about the same average.
Right. Okay. So. All good backs, but again, my point is we really don't appreciate Ingram enough, and
right.
And you made me appreciate him even more with that stat. So good find, Jeff.
Appreciate. I appreciate that you appreciate that.
I appreciate your appreciation of my appreciation.
All right, would y'all stop fluffing each other?
All right.
I do not appreciate Jason, though.
No, no. Whose job is it to bust Jason's balls? It's yours.
That's mine. That's mine. That's right. That's right. Because I can't bust you, they got to bust Jason.
That's right.
Jason is late and surly.
He's just upset because he's missing out on the tailgating of his...
Kickball. Ooh, kickball.
I retired from kickball, please.
Oh, that's right. He had a leg injury. Yeah.
Well, Jay Cutler retired from football, and he's back, so there's always hope.
Well, and that was our NFL reach round. Right there. All right, I don't have anything else for camp that we didn't already talk about last week. Then the only other thing to talk about training camp is, Damon, you sent us a picture that looked like maybe you attended.
I did. I went Friday. I went to camp, watched them practice, got there at 8:50, and it was hot.
Did you sit there for 5 minutes and turn around and go back to your car like you always do?
No. That was only at Millsaps in Mississippi. No, I stayed there the whole time. It was nice because it was a Friday was a club ticket holders only day, and they gave us breakfast and free drinks, not beer. But they gave us a Gatorade, a Dasani water, and sausage biscuits. So that was nice. And Lance Moore was there. You could stand in line. I didn't stand in the line. You could stand in line and take a picture with Lance Moore and the Lombardi. But anyway, yeah, we stayed, watched camp. It's and unfortunately, it was Drew's day off. Drew did not throw a single pass in practice. Peyton even addressed it after practice, saying, "Yeah, that it was nothing was wrong with Drew. He was just taking his quote veteran's day off." But look, without Drew playing, you really couldn't see much. And I'm not but the defense did seem to get to win the day, if you want to call it that way, because even in the goal line drills and everything, the defense was, breaking up the passes. But again, Drew was not there. Would not participate. It was fun. It was hot. Look, if you live around the area and you're a Saints fan, I think you'd definitely show up and go watch it. I tell you, one of the things they do after practice, which I think when we were kids, we would have really enjoyed it. And Jeff, with your two boys, if you ever get down here, all the fans line up along the edge, along the edges with the barricade, and the players will walk, the whole barricade and sign autographs. And I just think that's a very nice thing to do. Again, they didn't do, we didn't have this kind of access back in the late 80s, early 90s.
Oh, and I saw the Saints tweeted a photo or Instagrammed up. They social mediaed a photo of, I want to say, Willie Snead kind of playing a little pitch and catch before practice with one of the kids in the stands too.
Really? Yeah. The only thing that I think of kind of interest was Lutz kicking. Everything I've read about him, and tell me if y'all heard differently, that he's having a great camp.
Yeah.
No, that's the only thing I've heard. I mean, he's
it's like the first time ever that. Or go ahead, Jason.
He hasn't missed Yeah, he hasn't missed many kicks at all, and he's been booming them, too. He made like a 60-yarder, maybe at last night's practice at Yulman.
Right. Well, I'll tell you this. excuse me. During Friday's practice, the goal line, you know, there's two fields. Anyway, the goal post they had him practicing on was actually facing the bleachers. And there's no net.
Oh.
And he was so he was kicking at the bleachers, and it looked like he was kicking it from the side of the field. It was on the side of the field, okay, not lengthwise. He was kicking like, you know, toward where would be the sideline. And I can only guess that it's about that the distance was field with the extra point distance. And I'm telling you, we said that he did 7 kicks there, and he missed 3 of them. 2 of them hit the upright. And, you know, and 1 went long. So, yeah, that got me kind of nervous. I'm telling you. And then when they started doing special teams drills, they moved to the other side and caddy corner to where we were sitting. So you didn't really pay attention to him. Couldn't see him.
Well, I know they signed another kicker maybe yesterday, but I don't expect him to beat up Lutz. I mean, I think Lutz is...
No, I don't think so. But again, after seeing his performance Friday for extra points... And like I was telling my buddy that went with me, Doug, you know, maybe he was trying, I don't know, maybe they were trying something or whatever. I'm not sure what happened, but it wasn't encouraging.
Well, as far as I know, maybe other than that day, everything's been...
I've read the same thing, that he's supposed to be fine. And look, I like Lutz, you know. I like the confidence that Peyton showed in him. And again, when we brought in the... special teams assistant. He didn't get any more field goals blocked.
Hmm.
So that was it. Again, it was fun, but it was hot like a motherfucker. I'm
glad it wasn't raining.
No, the rain has stopped. It rained. Well, no, it was worse Friday because it had rained early in the morning, and you know how it gets down here. When you have that nice rain sitting on the ground and the sun can burl it up for you and make it steam, and you just, you know, your underwear is wet.
All right.
Yeah, that
was a lot of reasons that can happen. Anyway, that's enough of that, and we're not going to overanalyze that. We're going to go into look at it, please. So the first tweet comes from Neil. Haven't heard from Neil in a while. And then suddenly he refound his Twitter account, I guess. Says, for Damon, this one's directed at you, why are the Falcons fans so unable to respond with any wit to joke tweets about them losing the Super Bowl?
Well, look, if you were ever going to feel sorry for a Falcons fan, I mean, we all know this Super Bowl would be it, you know. I can only imagine if it happened to us, I would have been near suicidal. But again, like what we've always said, their fans are so delusional. They can't take a joke. They don't understand it. They're the dumbest fans in sports. They are, you know, because they think, again, they want to compare themselves to us. And even our last 3 years of mediocrity, you know, we've been very, very mediocre, even a tad bit below mediocre. You know, it's a horrible fan base with horrible people following a horrible team. And I just can't, you know, they have no sense of humor. I mean,
they can point to 3 straight 7-9 seasons. But again, your argument is invalid because you blew the largest lead ever in the history of the Super Bowl. We've talked about that. We'd rather have 3 straight 7-9 seasons than to go to the Super Bowl and blow a 28-3 lead.
Right, and look, I'm sure they were 11-5 last year. Not like they were 14-2 or 13-3 and had a really great season. They were 11-5. Okay, that's not a great season, right? I mean, would you consider that? It's a very good season. I wish we could go 11-5 every year, better than 7-9, no doubt. But it's not a dominating performance, okay?
Right.
In my opinion, I mean, you know, 13-14 win. That's the dominate. 15, obviously. You know, that, those are dominating seasons.
11-5. You got in.
Right. Remember, folks, I mean, we were fucking, you know, how many times the Saints were fucking 12-4, 12-3, and came in second in the fucking NFC South, or the NFC West.
Yeah.
You know, NFC West. And 11-5 wins the fucking, 11-5 got first place. In 2011, we were 11-5.
No,
and
we didn't. No. 2011, we were 13-3.
2010.
2010, we were 11-5.
Right, 2010, we were 11-5 with the 2011 playoff.
And we had to go to fucking Seattle.
We went to Seattle.
So, yeah, it was 11-5 right. In 2010 and 11-5 in 2013. And
no, goddammit, fucking stupid.
Are you telling me we were not?
We went 13-3 in 2011.
Yeah.
You said 11-5.
We did not go 13-3 in 2011.
Yeah, we did.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, we did.
It was
11-5 in 2010 and 11-5 in 2013. Right. Our last winning record.
You just said 11-5 twice. You were wrong.
We are not 11-5 in 2013.
And we were 13-3 in 2011.
Are you listening to me?
He's saying 2013, you fucking idiot.
Right.
You're fucking stupid.
Get him, Damon. Get him.
Damon. Is he stupid? Are you fucking stupid? Are you fucking stupid? Huh?
I am today.
It's like
it's
me
too fucking early.
It's like
are
me
you fucking stupid?
Game
it's too early at fucking 6 o'clock in the afternoon.
What are you, an idiot? You think Westeros is the one place? I mean, gee.
Hey.
You think the Iron Throne's at Casterly Rock?
So lucky I cut all that shit out.
No, you didn't. It was on the show.
I left a little in there, but a lot of it I cut out. So much of it I cut out. You
did it?
Anyway, what's the point of this whole conversation? Let's move on. Next tweet.
And I've gone crazy.
Hold on. The point was that Atlanta went 11-5. It's not a dominating performance last year. Why they fucking think that they're going to repeat and go to the Super Bowl is totally fucking ridiculous.
Well, they're not
going
to repeat because they historically they're not able to string together back-to-back winning seasons.
Right, but they did break that chain under Mike Smith back in 2008. You know, so I'll put my hat to them there. But you know, but again, they're not a dominating team. They'll be lucky to win double digits.
More to say about them coming up. So let's move into the next tweet, Davis. Or no, Horror Islander says, are any of you struggling or have ever struggled with players that you hate being a Saint? Because I want Manti Te'o to be cut because he's a trash bag titty whore.
I don't even know what that is.
I don't know, but I don't think Horror Islander has a favorable opinion of Manti Te'o. I mean, which is an interesting question. Is there ever anybody that you've struggled with or are currently struggling with being a Saint? Or is it kind of like once they become a Saint, you kind of forgive everything? Or is there anyone who you would?
Aaron Brooks.
All right.
I mean, I would say maybe Albert Connell, but that was after we signed him. Like, I'm thinking, like, was there anybody that you just didn't really care for, and then he signed with us? And there was already a pre-hatred. You didn't hate him just for what he
did. Yeah, it's got to be something like that. Not that you developed a hatred based on their performance as a Saint.
I mean,
there's a lot of them.
I mean, look, the only thing I can see if you're a big college fan, a diehard college fan, I could see a player coming from a rivalry school you don't like. I could see you maybe having bad feelings. But, you know...
A lot of people probably didn't like Ingram because he came from Bama.
Right. Well, no. Well, 100%. I believe that is one of the reasons that he is so underappreciated here. I do believe that. I believe a large contingent of Saints fans. No, I believe a large contingent of Saints fans are also LSU fans. And, you know, Alabama, I mean, there's so much, you know, history there, or recent history with Saban going there and then being so dominant. You know, I do think that hurts Ingram in the eyes of a lot of fan base here. You know, I think they won't accept him. But as far as someone else coming from another team, I mean, no. Michael Hayes? Michael Haynes when he came from Atlanta?
From Atlanta, yeah.
You know, once he put on that black and gold,
Or,
to me, it's more the opposite when they leave here.
Curtis Lofton. Right. I mean, Curtis Lofton coming here. I didn't like him, the idea of that. And then they came here and it was all
right. Right, right. It's more so when they leave here, I hate him. But once they put on the black and gold, there's been no one, you know, there's been no horrible players. Or, you know, look, I mean, you know, Darren Sharper, if he'd have done what he did before, obviously, you know.
We wouldn't like that. Really.
Right, but, you know.
I can't think of a, right, I can't think of any anybody who came to this team that I didn't kind of be okay
with.
I want to know from you, War Islander, give us another tweet. Why do you hate Manti Te'o so much?
Right.
What did he
do? I mean, because the poor man got fooled and he's an idiot on the internet. I mean, that's, you know.
That's everybody.
Yeah, I mean, you know. How many times have you jerked off to a man, Jeff?
Never. You're the one who sent the picture of Morten Andersen in the half shirt and the short shorts.
No, that wasn't me. That was Jason.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Speaking of,
Judd Brim the question, where did Jason get
Why did Jason have a picture of Morten Andersen in the half shirt and the short shorts?
I found it just for that.
You were just looking for it. Oh, and it popped up.
It's queued up.
Yep.
We do need a tweet picture.
I guess we will. All right. So Davis, Doug, you know what I'll do? I'll put it as the new episode.
That'll be good.
All right. Next tweet comes in from Davis Douglas. Do you think Sean Payton has gotten a pass for the putrid defense the last few years due to his offensive strength? After all, he is the head coach.
Among other things, yeah.
Are you forgiving
7-9, 7-9, 7-9, and the worst defense in the history of the NFL multiple years because of the offense?
It all falls on him. I mean, yeah, the offense has been good, but it's also the Super Bowl. I mean, that's... I mean, it's not like we haven't been pissed off at our shitty defense. We acknowledge. Like, why has it always been, for the most part, not good under him? He's as good as he is on offense. He's an offensive coach. He's never really been able to have...
But it's more to do with the Super Bowl than it is
majority of
his offensive prowess.
Well, they kind of go hand in hand.
Yeah. All right. Next week from Jason Oser. Going to Superdome for the first time this season, easier, cheaper later in the season if we're under 500.
Finding tickets will be cheap.
It would be cheaper, but if they're over 500.
Right. That's what's called a gamble. That's what's called a gamble. Look, buy your tickets now and...
go when you go.
Yeah. Buy your tickets now, get in, and stop being a pussy. Don't be like Jason.
All right. So right, here comes one.
I don't go to every game.
All right, so here comes one from Eric J. Beard. Who dies in the last episode of Game of Thrones this season? Also, Saints win-loss predictions. I'm saying 9-7.
Oh, well, wait a second. I mean, don't we make our predictions closer to the...
Once preseason's over.
So stay tuned, Eric. You got to listen to the next few episodes, and we'll do those as part of our bold predictions and season preview.
Yeah,
and all that
right. That's that week, you know, we have off between training camp and the season. And Cersei died at the last episode of this season.
Oh, really? You think it happens this soon?
Yeah, because next season is the White Walkers.
Okay. All right, then we got a lot more show still, so let's go into... NFL reach around.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
We can talk about Morten Andersen being inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
But I didn't see his speech. I had something going on Saturday night.
But anyway, look, yeah, I taped all the speeches because I didn't want to watch all of them, you know. And I watched Morton's and I watched Jerry Jones. Jones was entertaining, as I knew he would be. Morton gave a great speech, in my opinion. He thanked everybody. He was tremendously polite and praising New Orleans and the Bensons and you know the Saints organization. And again, we know his quote was, "I will always have a deep love for New Orleans, and I will always be a Saint." And then he goes on and he goes, and he lumped the Falcons in with the Giants. Then he did go back saying that he wants to thank Mr. Arthur Blank because he was 76 points short of the all-time record. And had been out of football for 16 or 18 months when Atlanta did call him back in 2006 in 2007. But, you know, and that will push them over the top. So even I'm super glad Atlanta did that, because without that, I don't know that he'd be in the Hall of Fame if he wasn't the all-time leading scorer. So, you know, bless Atlanta for that. But he definitely gave New Orleans the love. It was, you know, and what was funny is the Falcons social media, you know, the Twitter, they barely mentioned the Hall of Fame. They had, like, literally, if you go look on there, they had like four tweets: Falcons legend inducted to the Hall of Fame, and they had four tweets. The Saints Twitter page had, like, I mean, literally 50, 60 tweets and retweets. Obviously, they retweeted his speech where he, you know, called us the best fans, and he always loved Saints, you know, blah, blah, blah. I mean, the Saints, you know, the Saints were down there. Now, Mr. Benson dedicating the field to Tom Benson Field might have been another reason the Saints so pushed the Hall of Fame this year also. But Morton and the Hall of Fame was definitely a much bigger presence with New Orleans and the Saints than it was given to Atlanta. And of course, I like to go on the Atlanta message board, kind of see how what they're saying. And some of them got butt hurt by the way that he loved us. But like, even some of their fans said, look, he was with New Orleans his 25-year career. He was with us 13 years. A bulk of his performance that got him to the Hall of Fame was in New Orleans.
But I think part of what got him there, too, was the fact that he played for, what, 75 years or something?
Used to be a man had to go to the store to buy himself a pitcher of milk. Yeah, but men got lazy. They wanted that milk delivered right to the door. Only problem was the guy delivering that milk ended up f***ing your wife.
25 years.
I mean, think about it. 25 years the dude played in the NFL.
Right. He was 47 when he retired.
Older,
so yeah, that would be
Bob,
like that, right. Older than all of us. You know, I mean, that'd be, what are you, 37? I mean, 38? I mean, that'd be like you playing another 10 years in the NFL.
Right.
Considering you played none so far. I mean,
right.
The man was definitely a Hall of Famer. The man was a Hall of Famer. God bless him. Now, I was hoping it would happen then, I do wish the Saints, I always wanted the Saints to bring Morton Anderson in 2006. Because remember, we had a couple of sketchy years there with kickers. And 2006, 2007, Morton Anderson only missed three kicks. He was hit 89% of his kicks. Everything under 40, he was 100%. That would have just been so special back then. But it didn't happen. It was Atlanta. And again, I'm glad he got the record. I'm glad he got in. And another reason that Atlanta might, and this is just me kind of trolling Atlanta,
as is, of course, the tradition,
Atlanta might not have been so, so enamored with Morton getting in the Hall of Fame. And I've been thinking about buying one of these. If you go on the Pro Football Hall of Fame website, they have banners, okay, with Hall of Fame inductees, okay? And it's, you know, this has the Hall of Fame inductees and then the team logo and then all the numbers of the inductees. Like, you know, Sam, looking at San Francisco, they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. They have 10 on there. Chicago Bears, God, they have, you know, 20-something. Miami Dolphins have, they, you know, Philadelphia Eagles. Every team doesn't have one. And, of course, the Atlanta Falcons don't have one. But you can buy a New Orleans Saints Hall of Fame inductee banner with Morton Anderson, Willie Rofe, Ricky Jackson, and Jim Finks on it. You know, so that I think that's pretty cool. We're in a kind of an elite category there that we weren't in just 10 years ago. You know, where we have multiple Hall of Famers. You know, that we drafted. I mean, you know, Atlanta doesn't have that because they're a shitty organization, they're a shitty city, and their quarterback shits himself.
And they're building a metal asshole to commemorate all of that shit.
Right. That doesn't work.
There you go. All right. Now, we got to move into the next piece. Speaking of Atlanta and shit-Atlanta. Yeah, so Saints fans decided they wanted to troll Atlanta by buying a billboard. This isn't the first time that the Saints fans have tried to buy a billboard in Atlanta, but this time they wanted to buy one that commemorates the epic failure of the Super Bowl blowing a 25-point lead. I think, what was the billboard? Was it supposed to be just the scoreboard, 28-3? I don't remember.
Yeah, just 28-3, yeah.
And apparently Dirty Coast is behind it, right? Because their logo was going to be on it. Like they're
They're behind it.
And they want to raise the money to buy the billboard and whatnot. Now, here's my thing. All right, so you want
to think they raised it. They did.
Oh, they raised it already. So now are they doing it?
Yeah.
Or is it?
No, they're doing it. And anything over the – so you had to raise $2,000 to get it. And that was the same thing when we tried to do it a few years ago. We were just going to put the Hudat billboard up there. I think we got to, like, just over $1,000. I know I contributed. And we didn't get it, so that money got donated to Gleason Foundation.
Okay, so they raised.
Vacation, took a vacation to Walt Disney World.
Well, I was doing that anyway, whether.
Oh. Jason did. I thought you said Gleason. All right, so now there's that radio news personality guy, and I'm glad you brought up Gleason because he's declaring war on Saints fans or something.
Yeah,
for doing this.
And
the billboard company for selling the video? I mean, for selling the billboard?
Self-space, yeah, yeah.
And because this is just absolutely disgraceful and distasteful and all that.
Yeah, so he – right. So then he says, well, what we – for Katrina, we housed your refugees and we took them in and we did this and we did that. That has nothing to do with fucking sports robberies and sports teams. Dude, get over it. Or how about this? Have your team not blow a 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl. How about that?
Well, how about this? Your reaction is the very thing of why we're buying the billboard in the first place. That's why I'm saying, like, hey, don't buy the billboard. We've got everybody knows about the billboard. It's achieving the impact that it sought to achieve without actually having to pay for it and do it. So at this point, all right, don't do the billboard. Give it all to charity. You've just got all the attention's on the billboard. And the other thing is, the only thing I'll say is, you don't want that billboard to fuel the Falcons' fire. You know we would turn that into motivation.
Well, sure we would, but we're also not coming off a 28-3 blown lead in the Super Bowl. They are. That's the difference. They can say whatever they want, but coming back, they're not going to recover from that, at least not this year. Right, it has nothing to do.
Can you not see the difference between? And I know you can because you live in Atlanta, and I think something happens to you there, and you get stupid, you know. and I believe that Texas took a lot more of the New Orleanians than.
Right.
You know,
Baton Rouge took more New Orleanians than Atlanta did.
Right. So
don't act like you did. You're the only fucking city that took people in. It's not like you said, "Hey, come here." No, they went there, and you didn't have a choice. They were going there anyway. They had relatives.
Right, but you know, but also, and he's mad at the company. I mean, does he not know who Dirty Coast is? If you go on their website, I mean, they sell T-shirts and you know, I'm not gonna say trinkets, and it's all, you know, New Orleans stuff that, right, we know.
Well, Dirty Coast, it's the whole Louisiana coastline. I mean,
you know, I mean, right, but it's a New Orleans themed website, and they have physical brick and mortar buildings. I think on magazine and the French Quarter.
Yeah, I have two shirts from there.
Yeah, no, it's very cool. If you're from New Orleans, they definitely sell stuff that, you know, that are, you know, that's local to us. So of course they're going to troll the Falcons. You.
Wow. Is
offensive? Can I not say that?
No.
Then you.
There you go. That's better.
Thank you.
Much more appropriate.
I didn't want to offend anybody.
Except Atlanta fans.
Right.
But you took it to Twitter, dude. And you publicly declared war on Saints fans for that. And you never should have done. Don't do that kind of shit on Twitter. Are you kidding me?
Right.
Twitter's the ugliest face of everything.
It is.
Of society.
It is. Twitter is the asshole of the world, you know.
It's it. And that's why we are there at Dome Patrol PCast. Follow us. All right. I think that's everything for the show. Y'all got anything left? I'm not going to do final thoughts because we're going to do the Game of Thrones stuff after.
I'll say one thing, and I can't believe I'm actually giving Pete Prisco props, but he put out an article on Drew Brees today. It's actually a very good article about Brees and how underrated what Brees has been doing. Just really doesn't seem to get the recognition that he deserves and all the preparation that he goes into and everything like that. So if you get a chance, check that out. It's a good article.
All right. In the meantime, Don't forget, folks, if you are a Game of Thrones viewer and you are caught up on Game of Thrones, you can stay tuned after the closing of the show. We have a special Game of Thrones segment where we talk about, you guessed it, Game of Thrones. In the meantime, that's all the Saints show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. Twitter, the asshole of the world. So if you don't listen to us on the podcast app, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast.
Dead gum.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
And bye-bye, donkeys.
Good night, Who Dat Nation.
But everyone else is an asshole. I try to forgive. I try to live and let live. But everyone else is an asshole. And everybody else thinks of no one but themselves. And no one wants to help because they're all assholes.
So now let's get into this week's episode of Game of the Thrones. Where the battle for Casterly...
Nope.
Castle.
Nope.
The battle for...
Nope.
West's Garden.
Nope.
The battle
for the Red...
Nope.
Nope.
The Knights of Vale.
Nope. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Jason, when you edited last week, did you just have to listen to our whole thing just because
yes.
You were so amazed? You were amazed on what Jeff didn't know?
Yes. Wow. I was like, has he even watched the show?
Right. I mean, how did he possibly get enjoyment out of it when he knows nothing?
Right.
How did you enjoy something when you know nothing?
No one knows. I was sitting here, I was just yelling, you know, I'm sitting here listening to it, I'm just yelling at the thing. Like, what the fuck are you talking, come on! Do you watch the show?
I do. I just had a lapse. I had a memory lapse.
That's almost as bad, I think I've told you, about a friend of mine. We were talking about Better Call Saul. You know, and he had watched Breaking Bad on Netflix, and so I was talking about Better Call Saul, and he was into the second season, and didn't realize Better Call Saul was a prequel.
No. Oh, what I hate when people don't understand what's going on with TV shows. I know, but I just don't pay attention to the details of the names of things.
Well, you know, how do you know what things are then?
Like Game of Thrones, it's kind of important.
I saw the dragon last week. That was what I came for. Titties and Dragons. That's what they should name the show.
Oh, you know, that I'd watch.
Not Dragon Titties.
No, I don't like that.
Alright, anyway, alright, talk about this episode. I mean, I don't know if I agree with apparently all of social media saying this was the greatest episode ever. I don't think that is...
No, but it was a very satisfying... It was up there with one of the... Something we've been waiting for the entire time.
Yeah, to watch the dragon in battle.
Right, exactly, right. That's what we've been waiting for, you know, 7 years for. To watch the dragon in battle, and holy shit, they live up to the expectations, don't they?
Right, it was just holy shit.
Right, we've seen them fight ships before, you know, that was pretty awesome. We've seen him fight in that arena when he came and saved the Khaleesi. Yeah. And that was pretty awesome.
We've seen him attack a city as well.
We have seen him attack, but the difference was
the people
on the other side of the battle are characters that we're invested in. Jaime and Bronn,
characters
that we know and we've grown to like. Or just characters that we've grown to like. It's not just...
Sure, that really was, you know. But that's how they do it in Game of Thrones, right? The last three episodes... like he had said, even this episode, you know, I've lost all of my allies.
I'm losing.
Yeah.
No, he had lost all of them. He lost the Tullys. He lost Dorne. He lost the Iron Islands. Right.
Yeah.
Right. So he lost all of them.
Right. I got to do this myself. You don't need allies. Right. You've got dragons.
Right. So he said, time for me to go there and whoop some ass. Right.
But and like Jon Snow says, you don't want to do the burning of the castles and stuff with the dragons. Are you no different than all the rest?
Right, well.
So is this that compromise? Is this what Jon Snow told her? Like, don't go burn castles with dragons. Go burn armies with dragons.
Right, plus it's on the outskirts. Right, you're not burning all the...
Right. She didn't... Right.
Truly no, army no, only.
Right, there was no collateral damage. No civilians were hurt. No, you know. He burned their food stock, though. And actually, if you go back and watch it, because I watched the battle 3 times. besides the first attack of the dragon. Now, I mean, is this just going to be us talking about, I'm sorry, the last 10 minutes of the show?
No, because there were a lot of... I thought there were a lot of other good things.
No, so
there
were, you know, Arya's return, yeah.
Well, we're just going to start with the awesome...
Start with the top.
Okay. Right. But if you go back and watch...
Headlines!
The dragon... He burnt. The first thing he did was burn a hole through their line for the Dothraki to get through.
Yep.
And then the rest of the time, he got the archers. He burned.
Right. But they focused on the supply line.
They focused on the supply line. Right. And you know, so maybe that's her. You know, that's her not killing the entire army. And then we all saw the preview for next week. You know, the preview for next week. You see her telling them to bend the knee. So she left a lot of them alive. She did. She didn't. So I think that's the compromise. She didn't destroy them like she could.
Right. Recruit. No. But she hit them, you know, she hit them where she knew it was going to hurt the Lannisters.
But dude, that dragon, when that dragon was coming in over the water and it was making ripples on the water. And I mean, they made the dragon bad. I mean, I think it's bigger this year than we've seen in previous years. And wow.
Well, the only thing I was disappointed in was I expected some of their troops to just turn and flee, because that's a natural reaction. Like, half your army's going to be like, okay, I'm holding steady because the Dothraki are coming. I'm good. And then you see the dragon flying over the entire army and it's coming straight at you. And it's like, yeah, fuck this. I'm out.
Right, fuck this shit. Right.
I mean, I expect
run away.
I expect the Jaime and Bronn to do that. I'm like, Bron getting to see, we're not winning. Like, when Jaime says we can hold them, like, dude, what the fuck are you talking
about? Imagine in that situation, those guys, like, they're looking at this army coming, so they're preparing, and then all of a sudden they see this fucking dragon, the size of the width of the army almost, just fucking flying over the top of all of them, being like, bitch is about to fry.
Not only that, like, think of the guys on here on the line and just over to your left, the guys were torched to ash like that. Yeah. Like, I see that. Like, I am definitely getting the fuck out of here.
Right?
Well, actually, I'm not going to be torched to ash and they're the ones running around on fire. You know, that, you know.
Running from the water.
Look, if I have to be caught in a nuclear, you know, a war one day, I want to be as close to the nuclear bombs detonation as I possibly can. Because I will flash out, okay?
Yeah, right. It's like alive.
But again, like you're saying, those guys on the line, if you read the Game of Thrones, and they've never fought the Dothraki, but they've always heard of the Dothraki. So you get those, like you said, you get into all the Dothraki, which is definitely scary enough. And they did show that one soldier who was shaking.
Oh yeah.
You know. So I mean, I think they were trying to, you know, portray to all of us that yes, these men are scared, but they will hold the line.
And that was another thing, you know, because you're distracted, you know, as good as the dragon scene was, seeing, you know, when hearing the Dothraki come and seeing them in their full force, because you've always heard about the Dothraki, and we've seen them in bits and pieces here and there, but not just like an all-out war on an open battlefield, and you could really see how devastating of an army they are.
Right. Well, it was so cool when they're riding, and first of all, they jump from their horses to behind the line. You know, that's one of the ways they would get over the line. And then their archers would stand in the saddle. And maybe this happened, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that was
medieval
awesome.
Time. I don't know. But their riders would stand in the saddle with their bow and shoot. That was pretty cool.
And the guy who went sideways to cut the leg off a Bronn's horse.
Oh, yeah, right. Because, of course, you know, Bronn threw the knife at him and he missed it, which, you know. Doug had texted me this morning. I didn't watch it till this morning, and he said, "Yeah, that's the episode we've been waiting for. They did."
And even when Bronn goes to use the big arrow thing, he misses the first time. You figured he was going to at least hit it.
Got to miss, you know, at least once or twice. I mean, come on, realistically.
Now, is that the only one that they've built so far?
No, because if you remember the maester, the guy's not a maester, I guess, but whoever built it said, we have our people working day and night.
Okay.
So there's more. But I think it shows you that those things are, you know, still going to be pretty hard to hit. You know, not as effective as, you know, I guess they
especially
won't.
Now that
and I like that
it didn't kill the dragon. Because I was sitting here thinking, oh, clearly they're going to kill this dragon.
Sure.
And I'm going to be disappointed by this whole thing.
Yep. Yep. Me too.
Right. But I'm glad it was just wounded, which means it's going to take more than, or, you know, a heart shot or more than just one hit.
Right.
Which will make for the epic battle that much more.
No, it was. Then it was. So after you hit him, he laid, you know, he came down. He burnt the scorpion, I think was the name they gave it. And then he smashed
it with the tail. He was like, fuck you.
Right. Fuck that noise.
How dare this thing?
Okay. Now here is my, here's where they did something, in my opinion, that shows Jaime is going to kill Cersei.
Another proof of Daemon's theory of the season.
Because if, you know, obviously we all know this, that Jaime isn't dead. Okay, Bronn knocked him into the water. He's going to survive. I don't care what
you're saying. I mean, he was weighed down by the armor.
I don't give a rat.
Doesn't matter. He's alive. You didn't see him die.
That would be the dumbest death for that great character.
The best death would have been that dragon to burn his ass.
Right.
The fact that they didn't do that means he's still alive.
Thank you. Exactly.
End of that discussion.
Well, that's the thing, because now Jamie's going to see, holy shit, dragons are real. We are seriously outmanned here.
Right.
Like, Cersei's the losing side.
Right.
I don't think he's
Or is he going to stick to his love for... I mean, he's... You could already see, you know, tell from the cracks a little bit when he had the talk with
Lady Tyrell
last week.
Yeah.
He would join Tyrion. Right? He's not joining Dany. If anything, he's joining Tyrion.
Ooh, that's not
brother
bad.
Brother that he loves.
Right.
And if you can see that it's okay, like Tyrion, look, Tyrion could have that conversation with him and say, look, it's okay to turn and support this woman. You're not going to be king, dude. So why are you supporting Cersei to be queen?
I don't think Jaime doesn't want to be king.
He doesn't want to be king. Okay, he also now knows that Tyrion didn't kill Joffrey.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right. That's true. Oh, that is true.
All right, shift gears. That's a great cliffhanger.
One more thing. I'm curious if what they're going to do, because now the Dothraki's on the mainland, the dragon, at least one dragon is there, are they just going to lay siege to King Landing and just do a blockade? No food in, nothing in, and try to starve them.
I thought that was going to be part of their plan.
I thought it was a quid pro quo, right? So they did to her. I mean, they cut all her shit off. Like, remember she said, I have no food to feed these people. I have nothing. So she just did the same thing to them. So now you got both armies, both people can't support their. So basically you sped up, like they've got to battle.
Right.
You can't sit and wait.
Right. And so no one else is coming to Cersei's aid.
Well, she was talking.
Well, there's no one else left.
She was talking with the guy from the Iron Bank, and they mentioned the Golden Compass.
Yeah.
Oh, some mercenary or something?
Right.
Which mercenaries can be bought.
Right. Kind of similar to Danny's old boyfriend's guy. He was part of a group of sellswords.
Right. The Brotherhood or something. Right. Who is still loyal to her? They're in Marine.
Prediction for that is going to be that they get all that done, but what you don't know, and they never showed you, was that Tyrion and Varys orchestrated a bigger price, and they're going to turn just like the trash people turned on Rick in The Walking Dead.
Don't bring up that piece of shit show when I talk about Game of Thrones, please.
But I think they're gonna. I think that whatever they buy whatever the Iron Bank pays these mercenaries for, what you're gonna find out if in the middle of battle they're gonna turn and reverse on Cersei at a convenient time, which is gonna be because Tyrion and Varys had already gotten to them and paid them a higher price.
Right.
Okay, it's all part of Tyrion's strategy, because Tyrion's strategy hasn't worked yet, and we love Tyrion, and we know that he's an intelligent guy, and his strategy has to work. So far, nothing.
Why does it have to work?
Because Tyrion—that's Tyrion. You love Tyrion. You root for him. You want him.
Okay, I do, but it doesn't mean it's just gonna. It just doesn't automatically mean. Yep, it's gonna work. It's gonna work out.
It will. Something's gonna work. He has to have a good idea that works, or else why is she keeping him around?
Right. I mean, again, he knew how to defend King's Landing against Stannis in the second season, you know. No, it will work. He just has to be patient and follow him. Well, but he is going against Cersei, probably the most dangerous opponent he's ever faced, you know, right, strategy-wise. So, but one thing, piss me off about this
episode. She knows him, so right, she's going to anticipate his moves.
Yeah, but he underestimates him because he thinks he's a drunken, you know, demon. After the show, since you mentioned Varys, after the show, they had something about Comic-Con. Did y'all watch that?
No, I didn't.
Anyway, go back and watch it. Varys, the man who plays Varys, isn't bald. He's not like Jason, who's, you know, bald, you know, and ugly and smelly.
Oh, at least I have a dick.
but the actor who plays Varys has a full head of hair. So when they interviewed him, I had no clue. They had to put a head. But I had no clue. You wouldn't recognize him. You totally wouldn't recognize him.
It's Will Sasso from Mad TV. You know what I'm talking about?
I know who he is.
Yeah, I know. All right, anyway, jump around now. Let's go talk about Arya.
Jump around. Jump up, and get down.
All right, let's talk about Arya returning to Winterfell. I got it right!
La-di-freaking-da!
Arya is the baddest ass character in the Game of Thrones right now.
Yeah.
It's the dragon and then her. He's the second dangerous character in the whole fucking Westeros, okay?
Just of course watching her outmaneuver those two dim-witted guards.
Right. Oh, no, you knew they weren't a threat to her.
Well, of course not. Yeah, she's like, you shouldn't have run away. I didn't run. You need new guards.
No, but it was so nice to see her get back home. Now, see, I thought as I'm watching it, and he's sitting there alone, I thought, and he's looking at the castle, he's looking, you know, around, and they're doing all the new construction. I thought he was thinking, this isn't my home anymore. I'm not staying.
Yeah, I was thinking that a little bit.
So then when they turned around and he was gone, I said, yep, see, he left. So they got me there. I thought he had left altogether. I didn't, you know, but obviously he was down in the tombs and the crypts.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting. You know, I'm thinking about two girls that haven't seen each other in so long. Each have had different crazy paths.
Right.
A lot of bad stuff happened to each one of them. And, you know, both different people. And then when she sees one of the best scenes, I know I'm jumping around a little bit, was when she was fighting with Brienne.
She looked like Yoda.
It just whoop, whoop, whoop. Well, yeah. It was. Remember the training from season one, the guy with the wooden swords,
right? Her dance instructor.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a different type of fighting.
But I mean, it was great to just see she is a fucking badass, right?
Right, right, right. She could and it showed obviously for her to keep up with Brienne, and you know, shows you that okay, he is a master swordsman, and he can keep up with anyone.
Anyone, yep.
So yeah. Going down, you know, and then remember, we all know that he's a mini face, I don't know, person.
Yeah,
you know,
mini face gods. Yeah,
right. So he can again. Her story is definitely hasn't finished. He's gonna, you know, he's gonna kill. Like I said, maybe it will be her that kills Cersei. Maybe, you know,
still on the list.
Right.
I thought that was funny. Sansa thought the list was a joke, and then when she sees her fight, like
right, yep, she knows it's not a joke.
Yeah.
Maybe she might kill Littlefinger, right?
Yeah,
because someone needs to kill Littlefinger because he's the biggest scumbag left on the.
So I have a theory that was handed to me that I'm going to subscribe to.
Like literally, someone handed you a theory just a second.
Breaking news, yeah? Theory?
No, not just a second. I mean, earlier today. So, Bran is not Bran, which I think established.
It doesn't seem. Yeah. They made it seem like
the theory that it was handed to is Bran is the White Walker King.
No.
Because he was warned by the tree guy or whoever not to keep going back and looking and keep going back and keep logging in and doing all that stuff. But he did anyway. And he kept going back and he kept trying to stop the White Walker King from doing what he was doing. But ultimately ended up getting overtaken by him. And now he is... I don't want to say possessed, but that's not Bran anymore. That's the White Walker King, and that it's gonna.
No, I don't take his transformation as that. I take it as again, the old man he met in the cave, who, again, you know, now he's the three-eyed raven, just means that he's not attached to this earth anymore.
That's Walker King wants you to believe.
He's not the White Walker.
The White Walker King is the White Walker King.
That's a stupid theory. You should throw it in the trash.
Mr. Madison, what you've just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Okay, a simple wrong would have done just fine, but...
It is wild that Bran's clearly not of this world anymore, and Littlefinger gives him the dagger. I didn't realize what he said back to him that made Littlefinger kind of pause. I had to go read a recap to see what the hell he said. I even rewound and listened to it twice, and I couldn't understand.
What did he say?
It was a quote with the word ladder, and you know, people keep trying. Something about the ladder is broken.
So you went back and read it, and you still can't fucking quote it?
Pretty much. Pretty much. But it was a callback to something that
someone said somewhere.
Littlefinger had said, like, season one.
Yeah.
That Littlefinger had told who?
Had told, or had said to somebody, and I think Bran was in the area. It was around when Bran was after being booted out by Jaime,
okay,
you know, down and got injured. But so when he said that, I think Littlefinger knows something's up with Bran, and Bran knows
all.
Well, but
Bran
wait
knows
a second.
Whatever Littlefinger.
Which,
right, but
right.
Hold on. See, here's something that I thought I noticed from that scene that you're just click with me. And when it happened in season one, and Catherine found that knife, they all said it was Tyrion Lannister's. But Littlefinger said that he lost that knife gambling to Tyrion.
I don't know.
So to me, that looks like a made up. That looks like a made up story. I mean, you know.
Oh yeah, I think Littlefinger is the one who gave the dagger to whoever.
Right, to try to kill Bran.
Try to kill Bran. Yep.
Yeah, well, that's what I got this. I mean, I knew obviously it was never Tyrion. He didn't give, you know, he never gave a shit. And maybe that's knowledge that everybody knew. I mean, that it was Littlefinger. So Bran still has, he's going to, I said, maybe that's what gets Littlefinger. But he's also, when he sees Jon and they're talking about Dany, or when Dany goes to fucking Winterfell, who knows. He's going to tell them that they're both Targaryens, and Jon Snow will ride a dragon.
See, I almost think he's going to tell, at some point, Jon's going to leave Dragonstone and stop at Winterfell on the way up.
Right.
And he's going to tell him there. But you said he was going to tell him and Dany together?
Somehow he has to tell Dany so Dany knows, so Daenerys Targaryen knows.
So did you think they were going to kiss in the cave for a minute?
No. I know that's what they want some to start shipping, but I didn't think they were going to kiss in the cave.
All right.
Look, it's a Targaryen tradition to, you know, marry your sister or your family, so...
Why do you think they're so crazy?
But John's not interested in being king anyway, so that's not the ordeal.
But if it's a way to...
Who would
combine?
To combine the North, right?
Right, to combine the North and keep his people, they don't get all pissed off at him.
Tell me this. Who was the two people in the drawings that came together that got her attention? Who was the people that were there before them? Is it the
first humans that were there, and right, the what are they? Not the flower children, the tree kids,
the ones
that we met last year with Bran.
Non-humans?
The children, the ones who created
the forest kids, right? The forest.
Yeah, they created the White Walkers. Remember, they showed where one of the kids stabbed the guy in the heart with dragon glass, and that guy became the Night King.
Yeah.
So they created the White Walkers, but then the White Walkers grew too big, and then they joined with the humans to push back the White Walkers. However many years.
And so that's what ultimately convinced Dany to be like, you know what?
which you knew maybe the White Walkers were real, and it wasn't John just spitting bullshit.
Right. Which now they clearly have a mutual understanding.
The sure. Children of the Forest.
But we don't know if okay. he bent the knee yet.
I don't think he did. If he did, no. we would have seen it.
Right. Now, Theon showing up on the shore, fuck him. I wish John would have killed him. But anyway, I also see why.
Theon has a heroic death in him.
I don't think so. I don't think he deserves one.
I mean, he's trying, man. He's not. Yeah.
No, he's not. Why do you believe in him anymore?
It doesn't mean he's not trying. He is incredibly emotionally scarred by Ramsay Bolton.
It is no. He
cut,
pulled,
cutting
he
off his cock.
He right, was that this guy that before me too. That.
Yeah.
You forget. He was this guy forever. Ramsay's didn't do that to him. He was already this guy.
Ramsay's made him more
proud. Yeah, he wasn't a coward like
I don't think he was a coward first.
Yes, no, he wasn't. He went to freaking Winterfell and took over Winterfell. That's not a coward.
But even before that, remember, he was the one when the wildlings got Bran when on the horse in the forest. He's the one who put the arrow through the wildling.
I stand corrected.
Yeah, well, he's not a coward. But he did shoot the guy in the back. But
damn it, don't prove his point.
not the bravest of moves,
no,
but you know.
No. Well, that's his thing. He's not the bravest, but he cares, I guess, about the right people.
But look, you know, one of the things when they said, Khaleesi gave the speech about I'm sitting here on this island doing nothing, and then Theon comes up and they say, oh, well, she's not here. I thought, I never thought that she was going to go attack the Lannisters. I thought that she was going to go and destroy the Iron Island fleet, the uncle.
Ah.
I thought he was going to destroy his fleet. But his fleet is attacking Casterly Rock and the Unsullied, so we need to figure out what the fuck's going on there.
Well, right. But what she did, she just took care of the rest of whatever she expected to be at Casterly Rock. King's Landing is still fully defended, is what I see. I mean, King's Landing has not lost anything.
Right, and I think the soldier that they killed were the were the stragglers because right. Isn't that what they were talking right. about? You know, so yeah, wasn't the entire Tully and Lannister army or right. not Tully
and Dickon? Well, look at him saving
Daemon Yank.
No, Bronn saved Jaime. That was fun when they were talking about Rickon. No, Dickon, and Bronn just laughs.
Right.
No, well, no, and Jason, stop correcting Jeff. He is right occasionally. It was Dickon who saved Jaime when he's fighting a Dothraki, and Jaime.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
apologize to Jeff. Yep. Apologize to Jeff.
That's like three times this episode.
I know. He just
so you pissed me off. Listen to your Game of Thrones talk last week. Just pissed me off so much at how much.
But I'm redeeming myself.
Well, slow down.
I took notes.
Did you really?
No. But I did. I did pay attention closely this week so that I could sound somewhat coherent in my thoughts. Anyway, all right. That's all I got for Game of Thrones. I think that's all y'all have for Game of Thrones because we're already at an hour and a half. And we didn't give you an outro last week, Jason, but you found a nice way to edit us out. I think you just stopped, right?
That's all I could do.
That's what you should have done.
So, right, like then we got cut off.
Should have just ended it with Journey like the end of The Sopranos.
All right, okay.
Anyway, once again, we're going to thank you all for listening. Each week we're going to do a Game of Thrones recap. In the meantime, you can follow.
We have three left, right?
Yeah.
Quick season.
Don't worry. It's not going to cut into Saint season or anything like that. Anyway, yeah. Always follow us at Dome Patrol PCast on Twitter. If you don't listen to our podcast app, we always are available at Dome Patrol Podcast.com. Oh, I see you did dot because it's Game of Thrones, not Saints.
That's right.
Say bye-bye, Cersei's.
Bye-bye, Lannister army.
Good night, Westeros.
Don't stop.